Good morning, everybody. Good morning to everyone in the sanctuary. Good morning to everyone on Facebook and YouTube Live. Welcome to another glorious Sunday morning at Taylor's Tabernacle. Amen. Amen. We are a Bible-based church in West Philadelphia. Our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. If you want to know what is a Bible-based church, we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And it tells us everything we need. Listen, sit down, prepare your ears to hear a word this morning. Amen? Amen. This is Communion Sunday. So for those of you who are at home, prepare the items that you have prayed over for when we start the service. For those of you who are in the sanctuary, on your way in, you should have been able to get the sacraments. Amen? So that we are prepared. Amen? So before we move into the scripture that we're going to read, I'm going to call up Brother Derek Rush. He is going to bless us with a selection as requested by our pastor. Amen. 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 Can we honor the brother this morning? Amen.
Thank you. I'd like to do a song. Thank you for having me, first of all, this morning. And I want to do a song entitled Clean Up What I Messed Up. I thank God for His mercy and His grace. I thank you for our salvation and repentance. You know, because God forgives us for all the dumb mistakes we made. I want to clean up when I messed up. Starting my life over again. I want to clean up what I messed up. Starting my life over again. Made up my mind, I ain't lying no more. 'Cause a liar and a cheater can't make it through the door. I want to clean up what I messed up. Starting my life over again. I want to clean up when I messed up. Starting my life over again. I made up my mind, I ain't cheating no more. 'Cause a liar and a cheater can't make it through the door. I want to clean up when I messed up. Starting my life over again. I want to clean up when I messed up. Starting my life. One more thing. I made up my mind. I ain't running no more. I'm going back to church. I'm going to walk right through the door. I want to clean up when I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Starting my life over again. Now those of you that feel like I do, let's do better. Those of you that feel like I do, let's do better. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Starting my life over again. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Well. Starting my life over again. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. I'm starting my life over again. I'm going to clean up what I messed up. Starting my life over again. Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 When we receive this word, what? He's cleaning us up. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Thank you. We are going to move forward with our communion service. Now that we've been blessed with a song, I'm going to call up Deaconess Lillian. She is going to read our scripture, and she's going to be reading out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you need a Bible in the sanctuary, let us know. We will give you one. If you're at home, the scripture that we always have when we do communion comes out of 1 Corinthians 11. Amen? Amen.
I will be reading 1 Corinthians 11, 18 to 34. Everybody stand, please. First Corinthians 11, 18 to 34. For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So when whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. This is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home, so that when you meet together, it may result in judgment. It may not result in judgment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. If we could remain standing. Also, if you're at home, I'm going to be reading our confession of faith. And if you're at home, you should say these words as well. We want to think about these words because as we're saying it, we're going to take communion. We don't want to be taking judgment, right? We want to approach with a repentant heart. Amen. Amen. Repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. And at this point, I'm going to call up Elder Ford. He is going to pray over the sacrament. Amen. And then after that, the next voice you will hear from will be our pastor. Amen. Amen.
As often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. So we praise you this morning for the elements before us, and we ask you now to help us to pray the consecration prayer over the elements. We thank you for the bread and the wine that is set here. We pray that you would assist us in consecrating what is a natural thing, that it may be as the body and blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This we do in his name. Amen.
Good morning, and God bless you. We're going to now move into our communion and our taking of the sacraments. All those here in the sanctuary, you should have your prepared. We still need some. I see a couple hands going up. God bless you. Thank you for handing those out. God bless you. And at the same time, for those that are at home, whatever you have prepared or consecrated for you and your family at home, the bread, the wine. Now is the time. If you would take that out. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Everybody in good shape? Okay. We'll wait. The Bible tells us when we come for communion, he says, wait for one. That's out of the Word of God. Wait.
Amen. Amen.
Because in so doing, the important thing that we get when we come for communion, we begin to understand that we are united through Christ. Because we all come around what? The same table. We all eat of what? The same bread. We all drink from what? When Jesus passed that cup at the Passover, they all drunk out of what? The same cup. COVID, no COVID. Not that I'm recommending that. Before y'all start calling the health department on me. But it's our oneness in Christ. We're one. We're united in Christ. That's what the communion service reminds us of. Our oneness in Christ Jesus. We're one because what? He took of the bread which represented his own body. The Bible says he blessed it. He broke it. And he gave to his disciples, those that loved him, and those whom he loved, he said, take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat ye all of it. The Bible says also after the same manner, he took that cup and he said, this represents the new agreement. There's a new covenant. The old covenant has passed away. And now God establishes a new covenant signed and sealed with my own blood. Drink ye. All of it. Jesus prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, make them one as you and I are one. That's what he prayed for. I say that's what the communion table reminds. We're one in Christ. Just as the Son is one with the Father, so we are one in Christ and by extension one in God. Every time we come to the communion table, the Father answers that prayer request of the Son. Father, make them one. Not different. Not this one, not that one. Not more important. No. Make them one. Even as you and I are one. And Father, we echo the prayer of your only begotten Son, that we might be forever reminded by the Lord's Supper, by your blood, through your Spirit, we are one in Christ Jesus. Thank you for making us one. Thank you for uniting us with you in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. For that we thank you, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. May be seated at home. The Lord bless you. Unlike the other parables in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, which primarily focused on garden and agricultural imagery, tucked right in the middle is yet another parable. But one that uses a different analogy. Okay? And that is found in Mark chapter 4 in verse 21. So I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 21. And we're going to add to the witness out of Psalms, the 119th Psalms, the 105th verse. Mark 4:21, Psalm 119, 105. I'm going to once again invite you to stand with me This Sunday you're getting your exercise, up, down. But I promise, any stand after this one, that'll be on your own. Won't be me. You can't blame me for that. You jump up, that's on you after this one. So if you have your Bibles, you have your iPhone or tablet, iPad, whatever you may have, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. Mark 4:21 says this. And he also said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he said to them, take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. I want you to stay in Mark, and I just want you to jump over to verses 33 and 34. And it says, and with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. All right? Let's turn to the witness. Psalms 119, 105, very familiar passage. If you don't have this one memorized, make that your homework assignment this week. Right? Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word, O Lord, is a light to my path. This is the word of God. You can't get more word of God than that. Lord, take your word, bless it, and consecrate it right into our hearts. Dispel the darkness. Allow us to see the light of thy kingdom and of thy son. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated everywhere. Everybody, everywhere. As I mentioned before, the entire month of July, I was preaching out of Mark chapter 4, going through the parables of Jesus. And all of them, with this one exception, dealt with the garden. Right? And we worked our way through the garden. But in there, there's another parable in which Jesus does not use an agricultural reference. But instead, he uses a lamp. Okay? And in all of his parables, Jesus is attempting to explain to them the kingdom of God. Every parable, whether it's the lamp or the, every parable, he's trying to explain to them the kingdom of God. Are you with me on that? Now, I'm going to read that same passage in Mark. I'm going to read it through Again, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified, and then I'm actually going to read it out of the New Living Translation. And also I want to share with you, this is an excellent Bible study technique for your own private devotion at home, your own private time, you're reading through the Word of God, whatever, and you don't have the benefit of having a teacher or a preacher, someone that, one of the things you can do to enhance your own Bible literacy is read a passage through, not only multiple times, but read it in other translations. Oftentimes, it will help you understand that passage better. Okay? So I'm going to do it for you here so that you can learn the practice so you can do it in your own private devotion. Okay? I read it out of the New King James Version. I grew up on the King James, so that's what I read. I just grew up on it, right? But in reading these other translations, sometimes it helps me get a better understanding. So here we go. Mark 4:21, Amplified Version. And he said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or under a bed? Instead, don't you put it on a stand. For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away." Okay? Same passage. They just add this. And you know what? Oh, I made a mistake. Well, that was, now you're going to get lucky. Today's your lucky day. What I read was the NIV. I got the Amplified underneath. Let me read it out of the Amplified. That's what I said I was reading, then I read the wrong thing. Here it is, Amplified, Mark 4:21. And he said to them, "A lamp is not brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed. Is it not brought in to be put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it would come to light. That is, things are hidden only temporarily until the appropriate time comes for them to be made known." Now you see why I went to the Amplified. There, that's the sermon there. "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured back to you," right? "And you will be given even greater ability to receive and respond." Okay, Amplified, same text. "And more will be given you besides," closing, "for whoever has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given, and whoever does not have a yearning for the truth, even what he has will be taken away." Amplify. Okay? Now I'm going to read the same thing. I'm going to give you this New Living. And you know, anytime I read more, that often means I what? I preach less. So the more I read, y'all should be happy, right? If you read a lot, that means I'm going to preach a little. Khalil said sometimes that don't always work. Well, let's hope today is one of those times. Here it is. New Living Translation. Same passage. Here it is. Then Jesus asked them, would anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bed? Of course not. A lamp is placed on a stand where its light will shine brightly. I'm giving you the sermon. Here it is. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the light, and every secret will be brought to light. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Then he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Are you with me? And again, that's not preaching. That's reading. Just reading it in different translation helps your understanding of the Word of God. So here it is, 421. The lamp brought to be put on a basket or bed. The answer is what? Of course not. But whenever anyone buys a lamp, they buy it and place it on a lampstand. Somewhere to elevate it so that the light can shine out. If you don't need a light, don't buy a lamp. Are you with me? Proverbs 4:19 says, but the way of the wicked is like total darkness, and they have no idea what they are stumbling over. Now, juxtapose that to the witness, Psalms 119:105, which says what? Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp. Thy word, O Lord, is a light unto my pathway. Meaning I can see where I'm going. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like. Y'all guys work. You get it? This is it. This is the announcement. No fruit and vegetables this Sunday. The only thing you're getting this Sunday is a what? A lamp. And if you can just understand the concept of the lamp, you will lay hold to the kingdom of God. Verse 22 says, there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Nothing kept secret that will not one day be brought out into the open. The purpose of keeping something hidden is so that one day it can be revealed or made known. And he says the kingdom of God is like a lamp. And what you do with a lamp is once you get it set up, you turn it on so that what? The light can shine. Right? And now that the light is on, you can now what? See better. Are you with me? Matthew 13:44 says this. Jesus telling another parable. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man has found it, he hides it. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the whole field. Because he's found what? Treasure in the field. Are you with me in this? The kingdom of God is like a treasure. And the treasure it is, it's not gold, it's silver. It's a light. It's a lamp. It's a light. Look, might I remind you what Jesus said in the famous I Am statements of John. He said what? He comes on to the path. He said what? I am the light of the world. He said that lamp I was teaching you about is really me. And once you understand that I am the light, once you sink into that, he said, you're going to buy the whole field. Give me everything I can get with this lamp. I want everything around it. I want all of, give me all, because here I found hidden treasure. It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not jewelry. All it is a lamp. All right, now let me explain why it's a treasure. Here it is. You guys there with me? Here it is. Verse 23. If you have ears to hear, listen. Here it is. I turned on the light by clicking a switch. The way you turn on the light spiritually is by opening your ears. Right? Now I missed it, but let me go back and give it to you. The title of my little sermon today: open your ears and turn on the lamp. Right? That's the title of the sermon. Now I want you to see it. Why? The treasure is really a lamp. But how do I turn the lamp on? How do I get it to illuminate? I turned on a switch. In Jesus' day, they had to light a wick in oil for it to start illuminating. The way you turn on the light into the kingdom of God is by opening your ears. That is why in every parable, Jesus repeats this phrase. He that has an ear, let him hear. Because if you listen, guess what? The light will come on. The light will come on. But you got to listen first. You got to pay attention first. If you do that, the light will come on. Look at somebody, say, turn the light on. Here it is, 24. We're almost done with it. And so he says to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. To you who hear, more will be given. Take heed to what you hear. Or another way, and some of these translations say, take heed to how you hear or how much you hear. Okay? Take heed how much you hear. The more effort you put into hearing and applying the word of God, the more understanding, knowledge, and wisdom you will get out of the word of God. You with me? I'll say it again. The more effort you put in to hearing, applying the word of God is equivalent to or equal to the same level of understanding, knowledge, and wisdom out of the Word of God, you will get. Are you with me? It is directly proportional. Let me say something that's going to help a lot of folks. It is not dependent on your teacher. That's for all the preaching groupies. I got to go hear this preacher. According to this text, it is not the ability of the teacher for your increasing in godly wisdom. The way the responsibility is not on the teacher, it's on the what? The hearer, the listener. I told you last Sunday, all the teacher has to do is what? Sow the seed. He doesn't have to look where he throws it. He doesn't have to care how he throws it. It doesn't matter when he, just throw the seed. The responsibility is on the hearer. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Why? The responsibility is on you. The same way you hear will be the same way you receive. Are you guys getting anything out of this sermon? Here. Last week we celebrated the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund, and all the kids did great and got all that stuff. One of the things that I remember about Celeste Williams, she often completed reading the Bible in a year. It seemed like every year, every other year, there'd be a survey and they'd say, oh yeah, we want to congratulate Celeste Williams. And she would come up, she'd have her little certificate for reading the Bible in the end. And you guys have seen it, they got those Bible reading plans. When I was a little boy, she used to do it. She used to read through the Bible in a year. And I always thought to myself, young guy, I would always say, that would be so cool to read the Bible in a year. And I often said it would be cool because this is what I was thinking in my head. If you read all of the Bible, you will know everything about God. Right? I was young. She's a lot older than I was young. And they would give her that she read through the Bible in a year. So I always said, man, she knows everything about God. Why? Because she had read everything, what? Written about Him. Just what I thought, right? So now I get older. Beginning to get my own personal relationship with Christ and go on. You can read through the Bible once, twice, multiple times, and still never exhaust your understanding of who God is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Literally, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to make a cute. You can read everything multiple times through multiple translations and still never come close to understanding who and what God is. And I got a witness to prove it. Romans 11:33 says this. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. Listen, how unsearchable are His judgments. Watch this. Old folks used to say this all the time. And His ways past finding. Good God. You gotta be a church baby to preach. You gotta be in church a long time. Look, I got some people shaking their head. Yeah. That's what the old mothers used to say. And His ways are past finding out. Good God. how uncertain, you can't exhaust it. You can study God all your life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So wait a minute. That's not even the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make, how does that happen? The parable tells us. Because the more you hear, the more you get. Are you following what I'm saying? So if you listen more, you'll hear, understand, and receive more. And God says, look, I want you to understand something. I am an infinite resource. The more you keep pulling on me, the more I'm going to keep giving back to you. And unlike our government, unlike our financial systems, God does not run out. The more you dig into his word, the more you'll keep pulling up. Why? Because he's like a what? A lamp. And he'll just keep shining brighter and brighter. Here's something. I remember one time I was listening to Bishop Jakes. Years and years and years ago, in a particular preaching class conference, something I was there and he was teaching, whatever. And he gave this analogy, he made this statement. He said, I hate watching tapes of myself. I said, very rarely do I do it. He said, you almost got to tie me to a chair. I don't want to see me. He said he did it one time. And it was a sermon he had preached about the prodigal son. And when he was a young preacher, he preached the prodigal son. He said he preached that sermon, which at the time he thought he did a good job of. He exegeted the text, brought the people to a conclusion, asked for conviction, altar. And he said he did it all in 30 minutes. He said, in 30 minutes, I got him out the house. 30 minutes, I got him in a far country. I got him in the pig slop. And in the last 5-10 minutes, I got him back home. I got the ring and the garment on his finger. 30 minutes. So then I had altar call. People coming to Jesus in droves. 30 minutes. Said I preached him. Got him out the house. Put him in a far country. Got him in the pig slop. Got him up out of the slop. Got him home. I got a ring and the garment on him. 30 minutes. People falling out all over the altar. He said at this point in his life, if you would have asked him to preach the prodigal son, preach that same text, Luke 15. He said in 30 minutes, he said, I couldn't preach verse 1 and 2. In 30 minutes, watch this. He said, if you put a gun to my head and said, I'm going to kill you. This is what he said. I'm not making this up. One of his comments. He said, I couldn't preach that sermon in 30 minutes if my life depended on it. This is years later now. And what he was trying to explain to the young preachers was, he says, because now that I'm more mature, I ask so much more of the text now. Before, I just ran through it. Son, father, son, ungrateful, farmland, boom. But he said, now when I go to that text, I ask so much more of the text. And because I ask so much more, I get so much more. He said I couldn't preach
verse 1 and 2 in 30 minutes if my life depended on it. Why? Because I'm asking more, I'm what? I'm getting more. You follow what I'm saying? And now, years later, in my own preaching experience, now I understand what he's saying. Because I'm finally to the point in my preaching career where now I'm going back and preaching texts previously preached. And I pull up my notes. And I'm like, oh my God. They should have either fired me or given me no offering for what I preached. I didn't say nothing. When I looked years ago, because I didn't know how to ask more of the text, I stopped. I said, I heard enough. Let me preach. But now, being more mature, I can dig deeper into the text. And watch this. The more I dig into the text, the brighter the light shines on the text. Doing what? Revealing more of the text to me. Are you guys getting this? This is why Jesus said the guy found a hidden treasure. Here it is. Maybe you're still not getting it. If he would have found a treasure of gold, silver, and precious jewels, guess what he would have had? Gold, silver, and precious jewels. And the moment he spent it, he would have been what? He'd have been broke again. Right? But his best bet was to get it and not spend it. But if you find a lamp, and the more you ask of the lamp, the more light it keeps shining, you have an unlimited debit card. You can keep making withdrawal after withdrawal after withdrawal, and God's balance never goes down. Whatever. If you got it, say I got it. I don't know what else to say after that. Here it is. Verse 5, 20, whatever. Let me read it and get out of here. Here it is. Now watch this. I'm going to read this to you. And you're going to think God is unfair. But he's not. Listen, read the text. Here we go. So I'm at the end of 24. He said, with the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Listen, he says, to you who hear, more will be given. That's what I just spent the last 7 minutes trying to get you to understand. The more you hear, the more you'll receive. This is what he's saying. Now, here's 25. Here it is. We're done. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. I don't know about you. When I read that, I said, man, God's unfair. Okay, if he doesn't listen any more than what he does, at least let him keep. Here it is. I'm finished. Get this. Jesus tells the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You know that story. One got five, one got two, one got one. Master goes away, comes back. The one with five talents now has got got another five. He's got 10. The one with two, he had 100% increase. He's got four. But they said the wicked servant took the one talent the master gave him and what hid it in the earth. Which means he did nothing with it. The other two guys got busy. This guy received one, and he didn't get as much, but he got something. Let me say this to help you out. God gives everybody something to work with.
Your job is to discover what he's given you. You ain't got to discover my gift. You got to discover your own gift. Once you find it, you got to get busy, baby. You got to get busy because your God is looking for a profit. He's looking for increase. Here it is. That's another sermon, another day. Five got 10, two's got 4, one didn't do anything, and now he has what? Zero. Do you know the story? Matthew 25:28. Here it is. I'm going to read it. I got it in my notes. So this is what he says to the wicked servant. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And he says, cast the unprofitable servant in the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here it is. I'm so much over time. Here it is. I can understand him taking the talent from him, because he didn't do nothing with it in the first place. God, I'm with you. Step with step. Now, look, if I were God, I would have taken the one talent from the wicked servant. I would have given it to the servant who had 4 talents. In my mind, he's still a profitable servant. He doesn't have as much as the other guy. So let me give it to him, and at least that'll bring him up a little closer to the other servant. Does that work for anybody? That's how it works in my head. But look what the text says. He took it from the wicked servant and did not give it to the guy who had 2 and now has 4. Skipped over him, went to the guy at the head of the line, and he was ahead, not by a little bit, but by a whole lot. And yet, God gave the extra talent to the one guy who already had a whole lot. And I had to ask God, I said, why? I get it, taking it from the unprofitable. He didn't do nothing, he don't deserve it. Why not give it to the guy who is profitable? He did with what he could, he did his thing with what he had. Why not give it to him? He said, that's not how the kingdom works. I wish I had a real church. Look. He said, that's how your world works. But if you allow me to turn the light on and allow you to see into the kingdom of God, this is how it works in God's kingdom. He that has more will be given more. And he'll go from having more to now having an abundance. Why? That's how it works in the kingdom. Why? Because the more you put in, the more you can get out. And God said, I'm looking for people who are willing to do more. Because he said, I'm so full. I've got so much more to what? To give. He said, if you want more, listen what he said, then listen more. Because the more you listen, the brighter the light will shine onto the kingdom of God. And you'll be able to access more of God. By listening.
here it is. I'm finished. Here it is, Matthew 33:34. Listen to what it says. And with many such parables, he spoke to them. Listen, are you reading this? Matthew 4:34. He spoke parables to them. Listen what that phrase says. As they were able to hear it. They said as long as they kept listening, he kept talking. Just, here's the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like a mustard. He just kept talking. Watch this. The moment they fell asleep, he stopped talking. Why? Because they weren't able to hear anymore. Not that he didn't have any more to say. Listen, listen, don't blame the preacher. Don't blame me. My job is to be faithful and sow the seed. Raise your hand if you were here last Sunday. Raise your hand if you're online, if you were here last Sunday. What does the sower do after sowing the seed? He goes home and goes to bed. Job over, done, right? Anything you get of God is on you. And it's all based on how well you what? Hear. If you hear more, you can receive more. Are you guys getting this? He said the kingdom of God is like a lamp. The more you want, the brighter it'll shine. And it'll keep revealing more and more of the kingdom of God. Listen to what he said. As you're able to hear it. Verse 34, I'm done. I went over time. Here it is. This is what he says. But without a parable, he did not speak to them. He only spoke to them in parable. And when they were alone, this is in your Bible, he explained all things, here it is, to his disciples. When he spoke the parables, where was he? Does anybody remember? He was on a boat pushed off from the shore. He was on a boat pushed off from the shore because there were thousands of people pressing up against you. He said, get me on a boat and push me out. And I'm just going to talk about the kingdom of God. And as long as they could hear, he kept talking. When they got sleepy, when they got hungry, when they got weary, slowly but surely the crowd did what? Start drifting away. I got to go to work tomorrow. I can't. My kids got school on Monday. I know he's talking, but I can't hear anymore. I got, watch this, other things to do. So the crowd went away. Crowd went away. Jesus stopped talking. Jesus came on the shore, got him a fish sandwich, some coleslaw, a few fried shrimp. He was on the Sea of Galilee, by the way. You do know that, right? Plenty of seafood joints by the sea. Jesus noticed something. After he polished off the coleslaw, he noticed, watch this, a much smaller crowd had gathered outside the seafood shop. Watch this. They didn't pay for his meal. We don't have nothing to give you. But when you're finished, If you don't mind coming out and explaining to us what you said when you were out on the boat. We heard it, but we don't quite understand the lamp, the garden, we hear it, but we don't understand it completely. Jesus wiped the tartar sauce off, little cocktail sauce, threw a couple coins on the counter, thanked him for the meal. He came outside, and you know what he started doing? He started teaching all over again. Why? Because this smaller group wanted to hear more. Listen, and because they wanted to hear more, guess what they got? They got more. The crowd could have had it too, but they grew weary of listening. The Bible says the cares of this life crept in. Man, I've already been at church for 40 minutes. I got to get out of here, man. I got other stuff to do. The Olympics is on. I got to wash. I got to cook. I don't have time to keep listening anymore. So what? Consequently, that was what? That's all they got. And the majority of them, because he spoke it in parable, though they heard it, they still didn't what? Understand it. But those that came back around and got with Jesus alone and said, explain to us the meaning of those parables. The light just kept shining brighter, brighter, brighter. They saw more. They understood more. They could live more. One thing about the kingdom of God, this is what makes Jesus so wonderful. You don't have to wait for heaven to experience the kingdom of God. You can experience the kingdom of God right now. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You can step into the kingdom right now. You can live in the kingdom right now. You can have more in the kingdom right now. You don't have to die and go to heaven to get it. But in order for you to know that, you need the lamp to shine brighter, to show you who you really are. You need the light to show you what you can really have. You need the lamp to show you what you can really do. And like Jesus, I can see you're growing weary of hearing. Somebody pull my boat in. Look, I got more. He gave me more. I'm finished. Come on, who's ever up? Who's ever next? Come on. Hey, watch this. Let me turn the light off.
Amen, amen, amen. That was a good word, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's not worry about the clock. Because the one thing that we want to make sure we cover every time we hear the preached word, if there's anyone here in the sanctuary, if there's anyone who is watching online that says, I want a relationship with Christ Jesus, what do I do to become saved? We're all born in sin. But the word teaches us that if we would just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believeth in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. So it requires an acknowledgement that we are sinners and seeking after him, knowing that his sacrifice on the cross is how we become reconciled to the Father. So if you're out there this day, if you go to our page, www.taylortabernacle.com, go to the Contact Us page. Say you're interested in being a Christian. Reach out to us. We will reach out to you. Amen? And then, or you can call the church at 215-748-4578. Somebody will call you, and we will help you so that you can have the relationship with the Lord that you just heard preached about right there. Amen? Amen. Amen. So with that, I want to transition to the next part of our service, which is our offering. There are, even though we say there's three ways to give, there's actually four, which is if you are in the sanctuary, there are baskets over there on the side on your way out where you can leave your offering for the church and also for tithes. Amen. And if you need an envelope, you can ask the church staff. We'll make sure that you get one. Now, if you are watching us online, there are three ways. First, you can give by text message. Text the code TAYLOR61, that's TAYLOR61, to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link and instructions. And apparently there's now an option when you do that where you can also make a pastor or a speaker's offering as well via text. Amen? The next way is you can give through the website. Again, it's taylortabernacle.com, and go to the giving page, and you can follow the instructions there. Finally, you can mail in your offering or your tithes. You can send a check or a money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Amen. So those are the three ways if you're not here today, and if you're here today, I've already described it to you. And with that, I'm also going to move into announcements. I don't think I see Brother Tyrone here. I'm going to cover the announcements coming up in the month of August. Oh, I missed you. I'm sorry. Come on up, brother. I didn't see you earlier, so I was moving on. You want to use my mic? I don't have a wife, but you can take the mic. You need this?
Good morning, church. Announcements for August. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving the house. Bring a mask with you for you and someone that's coming with your family. And if you came in contact with anyone with COVID-19, we encourage you to please stay home. In addition, the church van is suspended until further notice. Please keep in mind, so that you can plan your transportation accordingly. August the 2nd through the 6th, we're doing a 5-day fast, Tuesday through Friday. During the 12-hour fasting, we'll be increasing our prayer time and reading of the Bible, and we'll be only drinking water. At 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., we will begin and end our time of fasting with a 15 to 20-minute devotion, with all of us dialing into the church conference line, which is 775-799-9141 for prayer and scripture. August the 14th, from 12 to 2, Teller's Tabernacle and Clutch Kings presents Breaking the Cycle, Addressing Today's Gun Violence. We will be giving away 100 book bags, school supplies, and snacks will be provided. The location is 425 South 61st Street. Power Up every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 9:45. Prayer and Bible study Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Thank you.
So last Sunday, we had our first garden class. David gave everyone a tour, and the kids picked cherry tomatoes right off the vine. After the tour, they planted radishes as a way to get experience with planting seed themselves. This month's garden classes will be on August 8th and August 22nd. Last Sunday was also our first community day, and our first zucchini was so large that for fun, we had everyone guess how much it weighed, and Mary Radcliffe was the lucky winner, coming in the closest to our 4-pound, 12-ounce zucchini. A table was set up that day with fresh produce for anyone who stopped by. We gave away cucumbers, yellow squash, zucchini, peppers, and cherry tomatoes. We'd like to thank everyone who came out to support us from the church and from the community, including our friends from the Mainline Reform Temple. Today, after church, we'll have fresh produce for anyone who is interested, so feel free to grab a bag on your way out the door. And finally, we are now opening the garden to volunteers. So anyone who's interested in working in the garden will receive the garden tour and a quick orientation to our care and harvesting processes. If you're interested, visit us at turningthetidephilly.org, and under the Donate Now section, you'll fill out the volunteer form and we'll get in contact with you. Thanks so much for everything, and we hope to see you in the garden.
God bless you, Taylor. Shall we all stand? Once again, you've been incredibly patient, incredibly attentive, and give heed to all that you've heard, most importantly to the Word of God, but also to our announcements. I need every young person in Taylor Nation to be out on October 8th to get in our garden classes. I need you back out on the 14th. It's a Saturday. Parents, make sure they're here. We're giving away free backpacks, good ones, good quality ones, with school supplies already in them, okay? Already in. Come, get your kids, get a backpack, get school supplies, all that stuff. And we're also going to be talking about gun safety, which all of our kids will need as they go back to school. Taylor, you've been a great church. Shall we bow our heads? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and may he be gracious and kind unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, and may the Lord himself give you peace. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen. Come on, shout amen. Come on, give God the best praise. Come on, let's go out rejoicing. Come on, let's go out praising our God. Let's go.